You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast ahead of this week's Premier League action. Dave Kellner here alongside Lee Phelps.
Hello.
And Derek McGovern, the NAP winning every week. Derek McGovern is on the line. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, chaps. I'm lying on the floor now, rolling money at the moment as we speak. All these winning NAPs going in.
I hope you are back in the role.
Yeah, I am. Well, to be honest, I would have won thousands in the week except for Everton not winning at Man City. I had a good few bobs for them, but there you go.
Yeah, we've kind of worked out your routine. Someone on Twitter mentioned it. You just nap West Ham every single week, Derek, and that's how you've managed to have this longevity, this sustained success.
There are people suggesting that you go last to let us, so we can nick yours.
I will allow you two to have West Ham this week.
It's not fair. You can thanks. No, but I think you should go first. You remember last week, last time we talked about it, I was sure that I'd been missed off, one of my winning naps had been missed off. So I went on Google and typed in, like, at Lee Phelps. I knew I would have tweeted about it if I'd had a winning nap. So it went at Lee Phelps, winning nap. Google's brilliant, isn't it? First thing that came up was 2012. And the second thing was me tweeting about one of your winning naps.
Did you have a winning in 2012? I don't remember that.
I was still presenting the podcast then. I hadn't been promoted. I still had that easy job where I just picked one bet out a week.
Everyone forgets about all these other quality bets as well, Derek. So we were suggesting going through every single punt and just marking down how many winning bets he has.
Out of all the games, you know, the full weekend.
He's convinced, Derek, that he has winning bets on every single punt podcast, but yet, because they're not his naps, they get swept under the carpet and forgotten about.
Newcastle plus one. Someone went for a Newcastle win. Newcastle plus one. Bingo.
Yeah,
over 2.5 goals. Liverpool
and the Manchester United match. Yeah.
Every other game.
Nine out of ten I get right, and the nap I get wrong.
I never doubt you. I never doubt you, Lee. Let's get stuck into this weekend's football then. We'll start with Tottenham versus Sunderland, which is the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday, 12:45. Tottenham 1-3 to win the match, the draw 4-1, and Sunderland 8-1. Derek, the price has skewed heavily in Tottenham's favour, as you would imagine. But given what transpired midweek, do you think Spurs are a shade short here?
Not half. I mean, Tottenham have played 11 games at home this season, you know, at White Hart Lane, and they've failed to win more than half. They've failed to win six of them. That's not a great record for a team, you know, supposedly now with title ambitions after what the results recently. I can't have them. You can't, basically, that's one of your punting anthems. You can't have Tottenham at long odds on, ever. Okay, they're playing at home to Sunderland, who are in the bottom three, but it's a Sunderland showing signs of life now. I mean, that was a good result for them in the midweek, but Jermaine Defoe going back to Tottenham, of course. I don't think there's as much to choose between these two sides as the odds imply. I've had my doubts about Tottenham for a while. They're a very, very tidy side. But they're more workmanlike than full of stardust to me, and no side like that deserves to be 1-3. I can't bring myself to back Sunderland at 8-1 because, you know, they don't win enough on the road. Although I haven't said that, they've won two, which is as many as Southampton, who seems to be odds on every week. But I am going to go for Sunderland with the start. Sunderland with a two-goal start is 8-11. I like the look of that. I really can't see that not winning.
Sunderland plus 2, 8-11. It does help. You mentioned Jermaine Defoe there, Derek. It does help when the officials don't play offside.
Well,
I find that helps.
All three of them could have been off there, couldn't they? Easily. I mean, you've got to question the officials there, definitely. But that's the way he plays Defoe, isn't it? And another way he plays, that he never passes to opponents in a better position. Greedy son.
Jermaine Defoe, by the way, is 14-5 to score any time. You look at that enhanced odds as well, given that he got the hat-trick midweek. If you do fancy Sunderland to win, Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win, big price, 25-1 here. This is a fixture that Lee, Tottenham have enjoyed recently. They've won 8 and drawn 3 of their last 11 meetings with Sunderland. You get the feeling they've they're enduring a little bit of a lull though at the moment, and they need to bounce back quickly. This is the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, you look at Tottenham. I think what happens is people get carried away and say, "Oh, that, you know, they can win the title." No, they can't. That, you know, I think top four is still a little bit of a stretch for Tottenham. So let's not get carried away with ourselves that Tottenham are suddenly this kind of title chasing team. That's not what they are. But, you know, let's not be too harsh on them either. They've lost a game to Leicester at home. Yeah, drew the previous two. Last time they lost a game was that surprise defeat to Newcastle. Well, they went to Southampton and won 2-0, beat Norwich 3-0 and beat Watford. So they went on a winning run after that. I expect him to get the same tune out of them here. I think they'll go on a little bit of a run here. And he does get a reaction out of Tottenham. They've not lost many games this season. And as Derek said, Sunderland's away form. You can't count beating Swansea 4-2 with the kind of the parts of the game that you mentioned as being, you know, the norm. You know, before that, they were losing heavily to top teams. Don't really like going to the capital. They've won one of the last seven. That one was in November against Crystal Palace when Jermaine Defoe scored late on, the 80th minute. And that was kind of a Big Sam kind of masterpiece, really. Keeping it tight, nicking one on the break and managing to maintain that lead for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. I don't think they do that this time. 1-3 is undoubtedly way too short for me. But I think Tottenham, back to basics, a win, a comfortable win, a win to nil, 2-0. I think I'll go Tottenham to win it and under 2.5 goals here. I think Harry Kane will be amongst the goals. Little short, like Tottenham are for everything here. But the Tottenham win, because of the fact that they're so short, Tottenham win an under 2.5 is 12-5, which I think is an attractive price for me.
Okay, Tottenham winning under 2.5 goals. Do look at that Harry Kane headline offer if you fancy Spurs. That's 6-5 for Kane to score and Tottenham to win the game. 6-5 here with William Hill. That's Tottenham versus Sunderland. The tea time kickoff on Saturday is Aston Villa versus Leicester City. And Aston Villa are 23-10 to win this game. The draw is 23-10. And Leicester in the betting at 6-5. Enhanced odds, Jordan Ayew to score and Aston Villa to win is 6-1. Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester City to win in the betting at 4-1. Aston Villa got their first win in 19 Premier League games against Crystal Palace on Tuesday night, winning 1-0 in a game that was of pretty poor quality. Leicester City continue to roll, 1-0 winners away at Spurs midweek, and Robert Huth with the decisive goal, and they're now level on points with Arsenal with 43 points, and they're odds on for the first time to finish in the top four as well, 8-11 for Leicester to finish in the top four, Lee.
Madness. And well done to them. You know, already got more points now than they got in the entire season last season with the 43. Joint top, could go top here if they just need to draw the game. Arsenal playing on Sunday. And I expect them to. I mean, Villa, you know, it was a mistake from the Palace keeper that gifted them that win. Goals aren't easy to come by for Villa. And, you know, this Leicester City defence, he offered them pizza for weeks and weeks and weeks and they couldn't get a clean sheet, you know. And now, all of a sudden, they are keeping some clean sheets in the Premier League and doing pretty well. They've managed to keep decent strike forces quiet. So I can't see how they'll not keep Villa's strikers out here. I think, similar to the first game that we previewed, I think this is a relatively comfortable game for Leicester. I don't see them having too many problems. They've been a lot stingier, as I said. I think Leicester will win it again. And, you know, the Leicester win and under 2.5 goals. So no reason to doubt them. I mean, if this is Arsenal, Man City, Tottenham, the other teams in the top four, going to Aston Villa, they ain't 6-5, are they?
That's a good point.
So that's 6-5 exactly should right. should be good enough for anyone. I'm going to be a little bit greedier and just go Leicester and under 2.5.
14-5 Leicester winning under 2.5, Derek.
You mentioned those other teams. I was going to say, even if Man United went to Aston Villa because of who they
are. Oh, Liverpool. And Liverpool. And Southampton.
Yeah, Liverpool. Yeah, Southampton be about 1-3. You're right. Everything points to Leicester. And you know, there was signs maybe of a little bit of a wobble when he couldn't score those goals. You know, they were blank against Liverpool, Man City and Bournemouth. You could excuse two of them, I suppose. But they've come back strong. Two good games against Tottenham, one with an understrength side, and they were the better side in both. Well, you know, arguably. They've done nothing wrong. They still look as though they're firing on all cylinders. I thought it was, you know, maybe they did hit the wall, but they haven't. They've come back strong, and I'm not getting fooled by Villa in midweek. I mean, they're meeting the Palace side. I can't score goals, and look as if this, you know, they've given up for the season already and they're concentrating on the FA Cup. Ridiculous though that might sound. Leicester all day long. 6-5 is too big.
And as you've mentioned, Derek, it did look like they were going through that spell when Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez weren't scoring, but N'Golo Kanté has made the most tackles and interceptions in the Premier League so far, and he's been key just sitting in I know how you feel about that player just sitting in front of the four defensive players, Derek, but he's been good.
Well, I mean, everybody was raving about Nemanja Matic last season doing the same job, and look what's happened to him. You could get me sticking in front of a back four. You're winding me up, aren't you?
Vardy, interesting. I mean, I saw the stat on Opta about it after his 11 consecutive goals or games that he scored in.
Yeah.
And he scored one in seven since when he's six shots on target. Well, he was only having minimal shots on target before, if you remember that.
They were just going in.
Yeah, and that's the problem with a player like that, where you're not getting loads and loads of chances. You know, if your form starts to dry up, or you're carrying an injury, or you're coming back from a little layoff, then you're going to suffer. But, interested on the top goal scorer market, by the way. Vardy's 5-1 to be top goal scorer. Lukaku's the favourite, 7-4. Harry Kane, 5-1. Olivier Giroud is 10-1 to be top scorer in the Premier League. He's only three goals. He's three goals behind Lukaku and Vardy, but he's playing for Arsenal.
You'd have that, wouldn't you? That was what a corker of a goal that was.
He's just an intelligent player who gets in the right position, and they create a lot of chances. You know, he'll get more chances than Vardy.
Yeah, I like that. I do like that bet. What price was it, Lee?
10-1.
10-1.
Third of the odds for a place in the top two as well. If you're a weakling.
Been on this podcast a few years, but I think you've come up with a good one there.
Thanks, mate.
10-1, Olivier Giroud to be top goal scorer in the Premier League this season.
Can I have that as a nap and not put another one up all season?
Incidentally, I've been using N'Golo Kante's name a few times when Derek keeps landing his winning nap every single week.
Really?
N'Golo! You mean that one?
Yeah, using that one, precisely. Let's move on. Liverpool versus Manchester United is next. This is Sunday's live games. 2:05 start time for Liverpool versus Manchester United. 13-10 Liverpool, the draw 21-10 and Manchester United 23-10. Enhanced odds, Christian Benteke to score and Liverpool to win is 4-1. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win in the market at 6-1. Derek, Liverpool will be out for a bit of revenge here, having suffered a 3-1 defeat against Manchester United in the reverse fixture back in September. I'm more excited about this game now, having watched these two teams involved in midweek action than I would have been had this been Saturday to Saturday, Derek, because both were involved in thrillers midweek.
Yeah, they both showed signs of life, didn't they? I wrote both of them off, and Liverpool put on a great performance against Arsenal for about 70 minutes, and Man United looked much improved against Newcastle. But they don't, that's the thing about them, they don't seem to be able to put performances together. You know, they'll have one good result, and then they'll be rubbish for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Liverpool have shown that already, haven't they? Going to places like Man City and Chelsea and winning, and then losing to the likes of Watford and so on. So you never know what you're going to get from Liverpool, and I think they're mighty short here to beat Man United. You know, United have got a good record at Anfield in recent seasons. I think they've won two and drawn one the last four visits. And I think it was last season they marmalised Liverpool at Anfield. They absolutely pasted them. And I'm actually tempted by United here. I think they've got more improvement in them at the moment than Liverpool. Yeah, I think they're a severely limited side. But I think the same about Liverpool too, despite what we saw against Arsenal. I've got to go for Man United here. I think Liverpool are too short.
23-10 Manchester United. Just to build on what Derek said about United's recent record at Anfield, they've won six of their last eight Premier League meetings with Liverpool, both at Old Trafford and at Anfield. And I've lambasted Wayne Rooney on this podcast on numerous occasions, Mr. Phelps, but he's looking to score in four successive games for Manchester United for the first time since March 2012. And he's now on 175 goals for United as well, level with Thierry Henry for the most goals for a single club in Premier League history. So there's no doubting he's got pedigree, Rooney, and there were definite signs of life at St James's Park midweek as well.
Well, it just suited him and the team better, having width, didn't it? You know, I think that was the key to their play. But with that more open style comes the problem that he's got at the back, where, you know, as soon as he opens his team up, they concede goals. We've seen it away in the Champions League, haven't we, where they opened up against Wolfsburg and got punished for it, you know, conceding three goals at Newcastle United as well. What's he going to do here, Van Gaal? Does he I mean, last season they won 2-1 at Anfield and Mata ran the show. I think he scored both goals. He's got a really good record against Liverpool, hasn't he, in recent times? And he's scored 3 and assisted 4 in his last 6. Does he play Mata and change the philosophy from what he saw at Newcastle, where he saw suddenly, you know, that width and that forward play, you know, gave Rooney some ammunition?
Mata plays here.
You think Mata plays? Yeah,
yeah,
he goes back to kind of being cautious again.
What Louis van Gaal said in both the pre-match press conference and post-match was that Juan Mata was being rested for that game because he'd played a lot of, he'd been involved in all those fixtures over the Christmas period. I think he starts here.
If Mata plays, then they won't be as expansive.
I don't think they will be as expansive.
But if Mata plays, you know, I wouldn't mind having a little bet on him scoring at 15-4. To be honest with you, he's got that. You know, I do like him. I heard, you know, we always talk about this, players who score against the same teams, and we call it a mug bet. I was listening to Alan Shearer talking about Rooney's record against Newcastle, I think we know it's a genuine thing.
Yes.
But to hear someone of Alan Shearer's calibre openly saying, "Yeah, you just have that feeling."
He was talking about scoring against Leeds United, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's enough for me. He wasn't bad. So I think, you know, it kind of gives us as punters a little bit of, you know, oh yeah, something does happen in your head where you just maybe get an extra 1%. So, you know, Juan Mata to score at 15-4, you know, I could take that. I mean, in terms of the goals, I must admit, I was tempted by looking at the overs at 5-4. I think it could still be a 2-1. I'm not saying it's going to be a 3-3, but I still think it could be open. You know, this game, you know, those Opta stats about the red cards and the penalties. You know, it's this fixture, second in red cards, second in penalties. It's spicy, whatever happens. Some new players coming into this fixture now. I think it could be lively. I don't think it'll be a boring kind of 0-0 or a 1-0 this one. Manchester United are very different away from home than they are at home in the Premier League. You know, the first half goals, and I've crowed on about it, at home for Man United. Well, weirdly, it's gone the opposite way this season. 7 of their 10 away fixtures they've scored in the first half. So don't be surprised if there are, you know, goals in this game. I'll go over 2.5 and Juan Mata to get on the score sheet if he plays.
Okay, Liverpool 13-10 to win the game. The draw 21-10. Manchester United in the betting at 23-10.
I was just looking at the total match goals.
Yeah.
The first half, that one, 12-5 for
Two goals in the first half. It's a difficult game, isn't it, Derek? Just to finish this off from a purely 90 minutes betting perspective, it's tough, this one.
Well, it is. It's just I think Man United have got more improvement in them than Liverpool, and. You know, they're the bigger. To be honest, I'd have made the 3 joint favourites here. You know, 7-4, 7-4. Yeah, and the draw even as well, 7-4 instead of what it is, 9-4. I mean, it is hard to pick, but I honestly think Man United have got more improvements in them than Liverpool have. I don't see. I think what you got from Liverpool against Arsenal is the best you'll get from Liverpool. Man United do, and I also what I vividly remember. It's United doing a number on Liverpool last season. It was roughly the same kind of form both teams were last same going into this. And United, they marmalised us, absolutely battered us.
Klopp's got bad memories of Van Gaal as well, hasn't he? Other off to start. Louis Van Gaal inflicted Klopp's biggest defeat as Dortmund manager back in September 2009 when he was Bayern Munich manager. They won 5-1 at Dortmund. So Klopp will be... A little shiver will go down his spine, I think.
And you know what? Roberto Firmino, he's a weird player, isn't he, Derek? He looks like an absolute superstar one week and he looks like a pudding the next.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, those two goals he scored the other night were fantastic, and the turn that nearly gave him the hat-trick as well. It's sensational. And then you're watching for another 90 minutes and you think, what is he doing in this team? I can't, the jury is still out. To be honest, the jury in my eyes is still out on Klopp, by the way. But, you know, he's only been there 5 minutes, so give him time.
Liverpool fans say that Firmino always seems to step up against the bigger teams, don't they?
Yeah,
it does look that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that would fit. You know, it'd be good to see that kind of consistency from some of the Liverpool players, though.
On to Stoke versus Arsenal, which is the 4:15 PM kickoff on Sunday afternoon. Stoke are 16-5 to win this game. The draw 12-5 and Arsenal 10-11. Enhanced odds, Marco Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win is 9-1. Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win in the betting at 9-2. This is one of those matchups, Lee, that Stoke have absolutely relished at the Britannia. They've bullied Arsenal a couple of times and they've won 4, drawn 2 and lost just once in their last 7 Premier League meetings at home against the Gunners. And Mark Hughes has given Arsene Wenger fits throughout his managerial career as well. It's weird how he seems to have been able to suss Arsenal out no matter what club he's been at.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah, he's for five different clubs, he's unbeaten in the last seven at home against him. It's amazing that. We were talking in the office yesterday, though, weren't we, about... Although it transcends different styles, you'd imagine he'd always... Mark Hughes, to me, has always been a draw manager. Remember when he was at City? He kind of got the sack for drawing too many games. And he's never been able to win games consistently. Well, that seems to have changed a little bit at Stoke. I think probably, you know, I think if Stoke are open against Arsenal, that might finally play into Wenger's hands. So I don't think he'll go in. I think he'll know, obviously, that he's got a good record against Wenger. And I think he might, you know, not be quite as open as maybe they have been. One bit of, I suppose, kind of good news from that perspective is that Shaqiri's out. Could be out for 10 days now. He's got a hamstring problem, which I guess that will rule him out for the League Cup semi-final for Liverpool as well. I know that seems daft to say that's a good thing for Stoke, but it might make them a little bit more solid rather than having Bojan and him and others, you know, piling into Arsenal's defence. I think it'll be a low scorer. I think Stoke will take it steady. I don't think they'll go for Arsenal. I think Arsenal coming away, knowing Wenger, knowing what he gets out of Mark Hughes, i.e. very little, they'll be happy with the draw. 12-5 for me. Draw.
There's something surrounding Bojan which is a little bit unsettling as well. He's been taken off in his last couple of games. I know there was the rumours just before Christmas about the buyout clause, and Mark Hughes said he's definitely not going anywhere. And according to Ben, who we mentioned on the podcast quite a lot, who is a big Stoke fan out in the office, he said that when they warm up, he trains away from the other players, and there's something a little bit disconcerting there with Bojan, and he wouldn't be surprised if Bojan is dropped for this game.
Right,
and Yosselu starts up front.
Yosselu got some good feedback from the fans, didn't he, from the other night. So interesting one. But yeah, I think Stoke will revert to type, i.e. the old type that's done them so well against Arsenal, and there'll be a draw.
I had this chalked down, Derek, as your potential nap this week, Stoke.
Yeah, 16-5 Stoke at home to Arsenal. It's madness. That West Ham result, air price in midweek against Bournemouth, that was plainly wrong. And this is too. They keep winning against Arsenal at the Britannia. I mean, how many times have they done it? Three times in the last four seasons, I think it is. Nothing wrong with their form. They're playing as well now as they've done at any time in the Premier League. And you can pick holes in Arsenal's form. Okay, they're not losing too many games, that blip against Southampton apart. But they haven't been impressive. The game against Newcastle, they won 1-0. They were probably second best. Even at home against Sunderland in the Cup, not sensational. And then Liverpool, for large parts, they were outclassed, particularly the first 20 minutes and the last 40. There's definitely holes to be picked there at Arsenal, and they're also conceding. It's all over Stoke for me. Yeah, what you say about Bojan is a little bit disconcerting. I wasn't aware of that, to be honest. And he has gone off the boil slightly. But, Sparky Hughes, he does a number on Wenger time after time, and I don't understand why the 16-5, I really don't.
And if you're looking for a goal scorer bet here, if Jonathan Walters starts, you could do worse than having a look at him. He's 13-5 to score any time. Got three in his last four, and he scored three in his five Premier League appearances against the Gunners at the Britannia as well.
How is he a bigger price than I won't do that again.
he doesn't do anything wrong, Walters.
No, he doesn't.
He's hard working, isn't he?
Solid, isn't he?
Yeah. Sort of player you'd just love to have in your squad. Yeah. Probably never moans about being dropped. Comes in, does a job for you. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Last of the televised games is Monday night.
Yes, this is
a biggie. Swansea versus Watford is the Monday night game.
They put all the big games on Mondays, don't they?
They put some absolutely horrible fixtures on
Monday. Gives us a chance
night,
to watch, you know, so, yeah, you don't watch every game every weekend, it gives us a chance to see all the different teams.
Yeah, there you go. Swansea 6-4, Lee Phelps speaking for Sky Sports there. The draw 11-5 and Watford 15-8 in this matchup. Enhanced odds, Andre Ayew to score. And Swansea to win is 9-2. Odion Ighalo to score, and Watford to win 5-1. Swansea only 13-8 to be relegated now after another loss on Wednesday night against relegation rivals Sunderland. Match we mentioned. Kyle Norton sending off in that game, incidentally, Derek, was one of numerous dubious calls on the night. And I'm not saying Swansea would have got anything from that game anyway, because under Alan Curtis, they're really struggling.
They are, yeah. They look like the Glass Mountain team in Ron's terminology, big run. It's one game they've won, isn't it, in the last six. Lost three of them. I can't really see why they're going to beat Watford. The only thing I would say about Watford is that they do look like a team that's, you know, gone over the hill. The two strikers are not firing anymore. All of a sudden, bad result for them against Southampton in midweek. They'd lost against Man City and Tottenham in quick succession too. But they have had some tough fixtures in recent weeks, and they'll find this a lot more to their liking. And I'm going to give them another chance, mainly because I just can't see, you know, no matter what way I look at it, a win for Swansea. I've got to give Watford another try. The 11th down at 3-1 at Southampton in midweek. They're a little bit shorter than that this time around. But I would say that Swansea are not the side that Southampton are. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Watford here.
Watford are 15-8 to win this game. It is a little bit worrying, as Derek mentioned, Dighalo and Troy Deeney not firing at the moment. They've lost their last three in the Premier League. And in that game against Southampton midweek, I think they only had one shot on target, and it was a pot shot from distance. It's slightly worrying for Watford.
Yeah, but let's not forget that. I know, you know, Derek isn't never keen on Southampton's price, but they're not a bad team, and they're very organised generally, Southampton. So, you know, maybe they're a little bit harder to break down than others. Also, two of those other defeats were at home to Tottenham and Man City, who are, you know, two of the best, you know, teams in the Premier League on form. So, you know, I don't think it's panic stations just yet. Our resident Newcastle fan in the office said that they were the worst team that he'd seen. Beat Newcastle 1-0. You know, I wouldn't be too worried if I was a Watford fan. They're on 29 points, above the best team in the Premier League, Everton, point.
The woman's gone.
Look, Swansea, I think Swansea are there for the taking. You know, the owners at Swansea and the people who make the decisions have done a good job, haven't they, over the years? That they've appointed progressive managers who've maintained this great style. Look at the managers, and they've gone on to great things. They haven't replaced the manager.
It's a serious misstep, isn't it?
And then they've sold one of their probably most talented younger players to a relegation rival. If you're a player in that dressing room, you'd be thinking, why have we not got a new manager? Because this guy was part of the problem before.
Yeah.
Why have they sold one of our teammates for quite a big money to one of our relegation rivals? What's going on? And so, and then they're not a very kind of dig in and get stuck in kind of team anyway. They're quite a nice team, I suppose. I think Watford win here. I think the 15-8 is decent. One nice little stat here from Opta is that Swansea have conceded the opening goal 14 times this season. Now, if Ighalo can get back into his scoring touch, 5-1 for him to score the first goal, it might be worth a look. He scored the first goal 5 times this season for Watford. But that's the same price as Ighalo to score and Watford to win. So probably better off taking that, because you get the anytime win in there, although it is a double. But yeah, Ighalo to score a goal, whether it's first, whether you like that start, and Swansea concede first again with Ighalo getting the score sheet. But 15-8 Watford will do me.
I do like Andre Ayew as well. I think he's a very good player. He's 21-10 to score anytime.
It's good how he cuts in off the wing. He's
for Swansea,
he's pacey, and he's got a great shot on him.
On to the non-televised games this weekend. Then we'll start with Chelsea versus Everton. 4-5 Chelsea to win the game. The draw 13-5, and Everton 7-2. Enhanced odds: Diego Costa to score, and Chelsea to win is 2-1. Romelu Lukaku to score, and Everton to win 8-1. Little doubt, Lee. I know you just had a little pop at Everton there. There's little doubt they've got an incredibly talented team, but league position at the moment doesn't reflect that. Only 28 points and in the bottom half of the table currently. And they're only 4 points ahead of Chelsea. I mean, everyone's been negative about Chelsea's performances throughout the season, and rightly so, but they're not that far ahead of them.
No, and so I think that is Everton's problem, though, isn't it? I think if the draws are an issue for them, you know, and we know the defence is a problem, you know, for the manager, and it always has been, may always be. But you look at the amount of games that Everton draw, 10, the most in the Premier League, 9 for Spurs, the next one. They've drawn 6 away from home, Everton as well. Chelsea, you still don't really know what to do with Chelsea as a punter, do you? I mean, you look at the prices here, and the one thing that you can't really do still is back them at odds on 4-5. You know, I'm not saying, just to clear this up again, I'm not saying Everton are a bad team. I just don't think the manager has quite got it. I think another manager with this group of players would be doing much better with them.
Yep.
But I think the draw is an attractive price at 13-5. I think, you know, I'd rather back that than Everton to win the game. I think there'll be goals. The draw on both teams to score gives you a slightly better price than just the draw, and that's 100-30.
Here's a stat for you, just before we hand it over to Derek. This one comes from Opta. Chelsea unbeaten in their last 20 Premier League matches against Everton at Stamford Bridge.
Wow.
Won 11 and drawn 9. And Roberto Martinez has lost on all 6 Premier League trips to Stamford Bridge as a manager as well.
That's a poor record for Everton, obviously. But it ain't that great for Chelsea, is it? Considering.
No, 11 and 9.
11 and 9, no. It's not fantastic if you're thinking about backing the odds on 4-5.
Yeah, that's where I'm going for the draw.
Yeah, and Chelsea, you know, on all of those occasions, I'm pretty sure Chelsea would have been above Everton. Well, you were picking holes in Everton at the start of the day by saying, yeah, you know, everyone's giving them loads of praise and Chelsea loads of stick, and yet Everton are only 4 points ahead. Yes, they're 4 points ahead and they're almost 4-1. Why? It's just wrong again. It's wrong. What have Chelsea done?
72. Are they changed? Or are they 72?
Oh, sorry. 72. Yeah. Well, it's nearly 4-1.
If anyone listened to if we had listeners who tuned into this podcast for the first time this year, given your accent, they would think you were an Everton fan.
I am.
So you slag Liverpool off at every twist and turn and Everton. Are you secretly a blue nose?
This is the time
to admit it. You can tell us all, Derek.
You know what? Blue noses absolutely despise me, right? For obvious reasons.
It's not just that.
And yet, when I'm in the pub and they want to come over and flatten me, I disarm them by saying how brilliant Everton are. It's a great little tactic. I don't get flattened, and now and again I win a few, Bob. But 7-2 to win at Chelsea, it's just wrong. Chelsea 4-5. You know that's wrong, and you're trying to think, well, it's Chelsea, they might come back. But we've been saying that for 21 games, and they ain't going to come back. I mean, Costa was up to his tricks again, punched the wall in midweek in the tunnel and missed. I mean, the guy is just a clown, and I just can't have him at all. I cannot have Chelsea. I mean, how many games have they won this season? Chelsea will probably be an odds on in about, you know, more than half of them, and they've won 6 games out of 21 in the league, and we're supposed to back them at odds on to beat Everton. That is just madness. The lesson, Trevor, the same old advice, Everton with a start, but I'm not going to pass over Everton at 7-2 here.
Good stuff. Chelsea 4-5. The draw 13-5. Everton 7-2. On to Bournemouth versus Norwich. 10-11 Bournemouth. The draw 12-5. And Norwich 16-5.
It's just wrong, isn't it? It's wrong again. I don't know. I used to have a lot of respect for odds compilers, but they've gone doolally this season. They really have. And that's why I'm picking Naps. I've been winning Naps every week because the odds are wrong. I don't understand why.
I love it.
10-11 Bournemouth, why?
Oh, it does look painful. This is the one that looks painfully short this week on the coupon. I have no idea why.
We both looked at it and we had the same reaction. Yesterday we were just looking at it. We were both like, why Bournemouth 10-11?
Yeah, no. 5 games they've won, you know, out of 21. Norwich are above them in the league. And they've won they haven't. They've only won 2 games away from home, Norwich. Yeah, okay. But, you know, they haven't played the teams as weak as Bournemouth every week. And well, until that midweek result, when there was excuses, they had a man sent off, didn't they, early on? They've had a good run of form to get... They look to me a better side than Bournemouth right now. And these kind of prices. You know, what I'm finding week after week recently is that I don't have to delve into statistics and form and so on because it's so obvious. The prices are leaping out at me at the moment. And that one, nothing leaps out as much as that one.
Does that suit you then, Derek, not having to delve into the form?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Enhanced odds offers here, by the way. Benny Cafobe to score and Bournemouth to win 100-30. Adia Mercy Mbakani to score and Norwich to win is 8-1. I think Derek summed it up there, Lee, really. Bournemouth, maybe the compilers remembering that purple patch they had in mid-December where they beat Chelsea, Manchester United and West Brom. But since then, they've not been great and they were outplayed by West Ham midweek.
Yeah, they were, weren't they? I think, you know, I'd be amazed if anyone wants to back Bournemouth at 10-11. The reason that the favourites in this market, obviously, is that they've just spent, £32 million quid on 3 players. You know, so you know, you'd expect that would give them something. And in the Norwich away record, you know, it is poor. I think they picked up 5 of 27 points available on the travel since September when I think that they they won some well. They got a draw at Liverpool, didn't they? And they looked decent. And then draw at West Ham. Since then, they've not done particularly great. So, you know, you can't be back in Norwich to go and win there. The draw, possibly. At some point, Bournemouth, these new signings will click. I mean, yeah, they were well beaten by West Ham. You know, I was listening to the game, the updates on the radio, and you know, it seemed like the new signings were getting chances. Benacerbahce had a chance which he should have scored.
A couple of good chances.
Yeah. So you know, here's the dilemma. I think Bournemouth will win, but that price is, I just can't have it. When you look at Norwich, you know, one thing that you see in a lot of their away games is that they do concede goals. I think they can score as well here, so I'm looking at the Bournemouth winning over 2.5. It's chasing it a little bit, but I can't find another way in that doesn't tell me that Bournemouth win. I think they do win. It's 2-1 for Bournemouth to win in over 2.5. I mean, it's still not the greatest price in the world, admittedly. But I'm gonna have a look at team news as well, and maybe back some of the strikers to score. I think it'll give Bournemouth a boost. The in kind of complete contrast to Swansea. The owners have seen that they've been struggling, that they've been kind of keeping their heads above water despite all the injury problems, and they've rewarded them by actually dipping into the pockets and spending some money to help this team out. Over 2.5 goals, 21-20 in the match. See, nothing wrong with that if you like if you like a treble of overs and unders.
Yeah, do look at that enhanced odds if you do fancy Bournemouth as well. Benacerbahce to score and Bournemouth to win is 100-30, which is obviously much bigger price than Bournemouth just to win at 10-11, and he did have a couple of chances midweek. Newcastle versus West Ham is next. Newcastle 6-4 to win this game. The draw 23-10, and West Ham 9-5. Enhanced odds, Jorginho Wijnaldum to score, and Newcastle to win is 6-1, and Dimitri Payet to score, and West Ham to win is also 6-1. Lee, Newcastle odds on to be relegated now. They've only picked up 2 points from their last five in the Premier League, and they seem to be bumping into teams at just the wrong times. And I think this has happened with West Ham as well, following that performance midweek against Bournemouth. Dimitri Payet back fit, and he was instrumental in that game. I think not only do you have his influence, I think that filters down to the rest of the players as well when he's in the team.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it gives everyone a boost, doesn't it? And it hit them hard, didn't it, when he went, and it just seems to have changed completely ever since that. You know, Newcastle, he's just struggling to get any consistency out of them at the moment, isn't he? I mean, you know, the spirit that they showed in the midweek game against Man United on Tuesday night was brilliant, I thought. I mean, you know, I mentioned earlier on the podcast that listening to Five Live and Alan Shearer was doing the co-commentary, which, you know, not the most enigmatic on Match of the Day, but I think it was good to hear him. You know, he's obviously at Newcastle, and he's always quite open about the team. And I thought you could hear in his voice, once they went one down, he was, like, worried. When they went two down, I think he thought the game was over, and back they came. And fair play to Newcastle. Can they keep doing it? That's the problem, you know. Can they put in another performance against West Ham here? I don't really know which way to go here. The West Ham price looks tempting. I think the draw is probably the best price of the three. It's the biggest, that's for sure. But I'm going to be fascinated to see what happens to John Joe Shelby here. I'm thinking right in saying, Derek, you always quite liked him at Liverpool. I've always been a fan of this player. Now, he's got his problems. You know, he's accused of laziness and he's accused of his attitude not being right. He's 23 years old. He's got plenty of time to mature yet. Now, Steve McLaren will hope he's the man who gets the best out of him. What I like about him is how forward-thinking he is, and he's got a fantastic shot on him. He could become a hero on Tyneside, couldn't he? He's the sort of player who, you know, could become a real real kind of legend at the club, even if it's for a year or two, because that's what they do up in the northeast. 7-2 any time. I'm going to go for a debut goal for John Joe Shelby. 7-2.
Okay.
Derek? I wouldn't argue with that one. I mean, we went for strongly for West Ham in midweek to win at Bournemouth, and they did. But it was 3-1 that day. And you know, your odds compilers have learnt their lesson. They've had their backside.
That was the crazy. I know you've already said it there, but that was the craziest price this season.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't make any sense, did it?
No. 9-5 makes a lot more sense, to be honest, than Newcastle, especially Newcastle are actually below Bournemouth. You know, it didn't. That just highlights again what a rip that was. For some reason, I can't bring myself to back against Newcastle here. I think West Ham are a little bit on the shorter side for me. there was a lot to like about Newcastle in midweek. After the 2-0 down, it did look over, but they did show a lot. And it was interesting, the comments that Steve McLaren and a few of the players were making afterwards. Yeah, we've been beaten 1-0 four matches in succession, but we'd actually deserve to win a couple of those games, they were saying. Yeah, you know, they would say that, wouldn't they? But, you know, you read the report as well, there's a kernel of truth in that. I wouldn't back against Newcastle here, but you don't win enough games for my liking to be backed at these kind of prices to beat West Ham. I'm not often I go for the draw at the moment because the prices are so tempting everywhere else, but this one isn't. This doesn't tempt me. I'm going to go for the draw.
Draw 23-10. You mentioned Jonjo Shelvey as a possible goal scorer, Lee, at 7-2. Have a look at Jorginho Wijnaldum as well. He's in the betting at, I think he was 11-5 to score any time in this game, and he has 13-5 years to score any time. He's got 8 goals in the Premier League, and they've all come at St James's Park. So have a look at him to score any time in this game. Let's move on. Manchester City versus Crystal Palace is next. City 2-5 to win the game. The draw 19-5, and Crystal Palace in the betting at 13-2. Enhanced odds: Sergio Aguero to score, and Man City to win 5-4. Johan Cabaye to score and Crystal Palace to win is 20-1. Derek, intriguing match this one, because Palace have had trouble scoring recently, and I think that could be key in this game.
Yeah, so have I. I think City are absolute certainties here. You know, I've been a fan of Palace, backing them away from home, early on in the season in particular. They got some great results. But I mentioned when they lost Yannick Bolasie a few weeks ago, I mentioned that I'm not really tempted to back them without him, because he's such an integral part of their play, and they've been useless without him. And what I found interesting after they did lost against Villa in midweek, with a comment from Alan Pardew, he almost intimated that result was coming. He said, we haven't been looking like scoring recently, and we've been getting away with it. Now, that's not a great sign, is it? He was also mentioning in midweek that, you know, they're going to give it a real serious run for the Cup, the FA Cup, because they're not in any danger in the league. You know, we've done enough in the league, basically saying. He was almost giving carte blanche to the players to concentrate on the FA Cup at the expense of the league form. And that, you know, that would maybe that transmitted itself to the players, because that was a howler of a performance against Villa in midweek. I've got to go for City here. Yeah, they're not firing on all cylinders, but when they do, they're capable of absolutely pacing the side. And I've got a funny feeling that's what they're going to do to Palace this weekend. They won 5-1 earlier in the season, didn't he, in the League Cup against Palace. And he went to Selhurst Park and won there, albeit only 1-0. But I'm going to go for City to defy handicaps here. City minus 2 goals is 5-2. I'm going to go on that.
OK, Manchester City minus 2. Confident selection for Derek at 5-2. And Man City have won 9 and lost just 1 of their last 10 against Crystal Palace, a record you would expect. They've won their last 6 home games against Palace as well. So it's not a trip that Palace usually do well in this one to City.
No, and I agree with Derek. City, I thought, disappointed me against Everton, but you know, in the on Wednesday. But before that, they'd been beating teams pretty well, hadn't they? They'd conceded against Sunderland and Swansea and Southampton, you know, and Norwich and Bournemouth. You know, it's like. And Newcastle, you know, and so it goes on. The City to win and both teams to score is such a big price by comparison to the 2-5. 2-1 for City to win and both teams to score. But this is Palace, who have really, really struggled for goals, as Derek was saying. Connor Wickham's up front. I thought, he's rubbish. He scored 2 against Man City in a 2-2 draw for Sunderland in April 2014. Oh, yeah, it's a bit of a fluke, that, really. He scored 1 against City in December of 2014. They lost 4-1, by the way. But the other thing that, you know, there's another man on the other side, who is Sergio Aguero, of course. 2 or more is 15-4. Connor Wickham is 14-5 to score any time. I'll go Aguero 2 or more.
Yeah, it's the better bet.
Yeah, I like that one.
15. By the way, Derek, who wins the league now?
Man City. Yeah. I mean, the second favourites marginally, aren't they? They're 3 points behind. Is it 3 points behind Arsenal? That's easily make upable. City all day for me.
Same for you.
What about you two boys?
I'm City. Man City. I think 5-4 is a good price.
Unless, and being devil's advocate here, Everton make a late charge for
500-1.
Yeah,
they've got a few points to pick up, but they could get there. I do like I like City as well. 5-4 outside. I think we'll see what we always see from Arsenal, Derek, that weakness at the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah. They, well, uh, whether it's spring in the fall in the spring.
Yeah. What we were saying, we were chatting about that, Derek, and you kind of think if they are this close going into May, you'd back City, wouldn't you? Because they've been there and done it. And Arsenal, you think, would crumble under the pressure, even with Czech, you know, there. I think they need more than that. City have got more experience at winning things, I think.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Although, City will be in the Champions
League.
Yeah, that as well. And Arsenal will be out of the Champions League, though, you'd have thought.
Yeah, well, they are every season, and they still never win the league.
That's true enough.
Southampton versus West Brom is the last game this weekend.
No, no.
Southampton 7-10 to win this game.
Have you got a work experience, boy? It's just like, Southampton, they're always odds on, stick them odds on again. It's just, what's going on?
They did win in midweek.
It's a Watford team, man. They look tired. If they
were here, they go, yeah, but we got it right. They did win.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, they only had one other win in six, and that was that ridiculous blip against Arsenal. I mean, they've lost to Palace, who have not beaten anybody at these days. They've lost to Norwich. They've lost to West Ham. Okay, that's okay. But and where's West Brom? They played Chelsea recently, drew 2-2, played Stoke, an informed Stoke, beat them, beat Newcastle, fair enough. And then 9-2, they're locked together on the league. 9-2, 27 points each. What's going on? No bigger than, in my eyes, 11-4 here, West Brom. The only, well, maybe the 9-2, because the odds compilers listen to us and think Tony Pull is set up for 0-0 away from home. You know, he won't go for the win. But he's won 3 away from home, you know, this season. That's not bad. That's not bad form for the team that's in the lower half. It's just another crazy, crazy price.
Here's one for you as well, Derek. Southampton have failed to score in 6 of their last 8 Premier League games against West Brom, which is...
Jesus, is that right? Yeah,
that's right,
last 3 seasons, 0-0 last season.
Yeah.
There was a 1-0. Didn't we beat them 1-0 2 seasons ago?
Yeah, I think
six of the 8. Six of the last eight,
they've failed to score. There have been a lot of low-scoring games between these two sides in recent times as well. Couldn't even get through the prices there. Derek fancies West Brom here 9-2. What about you, Lee?
You can't go for Southampton at that price, obviously. I'm not even sure they will win this one, to be honest. Derek's right about Watford. They were lethargic and they were off the pace, and that maybe just contributed to giving Southampton a bit of a boost, because we have all been saying about them that they just don't seem quite right, and Koeman seems upset with everything. And when you look at the form since early November, they've only won those 2 games, as Derek said, that performance against Arsenal, which was brilliant, really. But then not even drawing, lots of losses. The one draw against Aston Villa, who have only got 11 points all season. So, West Brom haven't really got great form away from home either. They beat Norwich, haven't won a game, since beating Norwich, which was in 24th of October. So I got draw, 5-2 here.
Okay, 5-2 for the draw in the game, and Derek going with West Brom at 9-2. Nap time, folks. The moment all the listeners have been waiting for. Derek, you fire us off, Derek.
No, because
I said,
right, well, I'm not stealing this off you, because I know neither of you two will go for this one. I'm going to go for Everton 7-2 at Chelsea. Joking.
Wow.
I wasn't going to.
Yeah, you were going to go for Chelsea, were you?
Everton at 7-2, big... That shocked me, Derek. That shocked me. Everton 7-2 to win at Chelsea, Lee.
What are you going to go for?
I'm going to go for Jorginho Wijnaldum to score for Newcastle. I like the price. I think there'll be goals in the game, and that's why I like this one. So 13-5 for Wijnaldum to score any time for Newcastle against the Hammers. I like that.
Very nice. I am going to go for over 2.5 goals in the Liverpool-Manchester United game. I think it will be more open than we're expecting. So I'll go for that one. I like that Aguero to score 2 or more, but I'll go for over 2.5 instead.
Okay, that goes into the treble. So the treble this weekend, listeners, Everton 7-2 is Derek's pick, so focusing on that one. Jorginho Wijnaldum to score any time for Newcastle at 13-5 is mine. And ignore this one entirely. Lee's gone for over 2.5 goals game between Liverpool and Manchester United at 5-4. 35.45-1, that treble this weekend.
That's your nickname, isn't it, Mr. Over 2.5? Or is that your IQ? Sorry. I fancy that treble, actually. Well, one of them, anyway.
Thank you for your company, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers,
Thank
Derek.
You, Mr. Phelps. Thanks to everyone for listening. You can download this on audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. Check us out on iTunes as well. Again, type in William Hill. And you can follow us all on Twitter at Lee Phelps, at D Kellner, at Bet Like a Pro. And we'll be back for more Premier League fun next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.